Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Barry Finkel. I co-host and produce on Happy Hour with Matt Bellassai, and this is OPP.
God bless everybody, and welcome to another episode of OPP, Other People's Podcast, is America's number one podcast discovery platform that highlights your favorite podcasters and the dope shows they created. I'm your host, Corey Cambridge. Our special guest this episode is Barry Finkel, co-host and producer of the amazing podcast, Unhappy Hour. Barry, with main host Matt Bellassai and special guests, vent about all things political, personal, and cultural. Because, as they say, nothing brings people together like good alcohol and good complaining. Facts. So without further ado, let me introduce you to the co-host and producer of Unhappy Hour, Barry Finkel. Barry, how are you?
Hey, you know, I'm doing good. I'm very grateful because you let me bring my dog.
Oh, of course.
So yeah. If there's any pitter-patters in the background, that is Putty. Also a featured topic of conversation on Unhappy Hour. So it feels appropriate that he's here. Also,
so he keeps Putty the puppy?
Himself. Putty the pup.
Putty the pup? Him. Yo, yeah. Swag game on 1,000.
He's a cutie.
Yo, he's like perfect, like New York size too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 30 pounds.
Yeah, 30 pounds, but he's got like that big dog demeanor.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. He's very proportional.
Right. Yeah. Like, his swag game is like Great Dane.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Wow. Whoa. That's big. Thank you.
Wait. How'd you get Putty?
Oh, it's a rather long story, but basically I just adopted him.
Okay.
But the more romantic side of the story is that my boyfriend was like, hey, you want to volunteer at a dog shelter? There's this place you can walk dogs. And my friends and I went to walk dogs, and he was the first dog. I think that I, no, that's not right. He was not the first dog, but my friends and I went one time and we met Putty, and I fell in love with him, but he had heartworm. So he wasn't adoptable until he was fully clear of heartworm and then fixed.
Okay.
And so I had to wait a long time, and I would literally carry.
So he has no nuts?
Adoption form. Oh no nuts, no nuts on those.
So when you no nuts on those. No. Wait. So does no nuts mean no? He has no sexual urges. No.
No, he'll still hump every once in a while. Okay. But he doesn't. Not as bad as I couldn't adopt him until he was fully clear of heartworm, and so I would carry around the adoption form in my backpack and finally persuaded the adoption place to let me take him even before he was fixed, and that I'd bring him back once he was cleared of heartworm. And they let me do that. And so I did have him with his balls for a month, and that was not something I'd experienced before.
Yeah. Wait, so how did he change from balls to no balls?
Not as humpy. Didn't mark as much.
Okay.
That was pretty much it. He still is his own little self.
Because you're originally not from the city. You're from Chicago, if I'm not mistaken.
Northern suburbs, yes.
Northern suburbs. Okay. So
I respect the city limits. I love the city. I'm from a half hour north of the city. My dad is from the city.
You could totally rep Chicago. No.
But I respect it too much. I know that I am from the suburbs.
Right, but I'm from the suburbs of Richmond. But I feel I'm still Richmond. Where did I kick it?
But isn't Richmond's a smaller city too,
Oh,
though,
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in Chicago, yeah.
Yeah. But no, I love Chicago. I have a lot of Chicago pride.
I call it my favorite American city.
I would agree with that.
Where LA and New York don't feel like America at all. There's nothing about them that have an American feel.
Interesting.
At all to them. They're more international, more global cities.
Yeah.
Versus when you get out of New York, get out of LA, you get into the real vibes of America, four pickup trucks and country music.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. What else describes America?
I don't know.
Walmarts.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, that's not Chicago.
Maybe Northern Chicago.
Northern Chicago.
Yes.
No, it's not.
What was your life growing up there?
Have you seen Mean Girls?
Yeah. Of course.
That was based on my high school.
But would you, oh, really?
Yeah. Wait, so that's my upbringing.
Were you the nice girl or the mean girl?
No, was a nice girl.
You were a nice girl?
I went to Neutra High School, which isn't my upbringing. That's where I went to high school, but it was like 4,000 kids. So there's like not even really cliques because that's too large of a school to pay attention to all the popular kids. You know what I mean?
Right.
Too many. There's no homecoming king.
Wait, what is that per grade? Much. Like 1,000 kids per grade?
Yeah, I graduated in a class of 1,080.
Damn.
Yeah.
Did they have like separate graduations? Like no, staggered?
No, but you know what they did?
What?
The women, this is a public school, mind you.
Yeah.
The girls had to wear white gowns, had to be shoulder or longer. It could not be above the knee. It could not be beige. It could be off-white. There could be no, like, that's Putty shaking in the background.
Hey, Putty.
There could be no, like, sparkly stones or anything. And all the guys wore white tuxes. And we were handed roses walking down the aisle of graduation.
Who paid for the tuxes?
We had to pay for the dresses.
Oh, this is a wealthy area.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's like, this is code for, I lived in a wealthy area.
Yeah, the tuxes all could be rented. My dress was from Target online. And it was $50. no, it's strange because I grew up in a suburb that was only 15 minutes away from the suburb that my parents live in and that I went to high school in. But that suburb, it's their high school, Niles North, has something like one of the most diverse, or like the most amount of languages spoken at a high school in the state of Illinois, something okay. like that. Like a lot of different languages, it's a different socioeconomic classes at that school. Then I moved 15 minutes away to Glenview, which there's only like 6-ish streets of Glenview that go to the Neutra schools.
Yeah.
And it is such a different experience. Like, I told you 1,080.
Yeah.
There were 7 black students in that graduating
class. 1,080?
Yes.
Damn.
2 of them are twins. Those are my friends, Safi and
Mel. 2 of them were twins.
And they lived in Glenview. and I mean, by no, Glenview was like still upper middle class. But it's like there is variety, even a spectrum of wealth, even in upper middle class, because it's like where I live, and then where like the Winnetka Kenilworth, like richest of the rich in Chicago, mansions, straight up servants, like
Home Alone wild. 2 style, Home Alone 1
that's
style.
That's also filmed in, that's Wilmette, which is like the nicer part of Wilmette. There's also,
and that's what I think about when I think of like that's bougie Chicago.
That one, they went
Kevin McAllister.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Did you get love because your name cool. was Barry Finkel? Like the flyest name ever?
Oh, thank you. I'll say, yeah, most people are like, oh, from Friends, because I guess that was like Rachel's first husband. I don't really.
Wait, Rachel's first husband's name was Barry?
Barry Finkel.
No way.
Yeah, spelled different, but yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you a legend.
Oh, yes. That was me. That was me. And I used to, growing up, you know, during like icebreaker games, I'd be like, my name's Barry Finkel. It rhymes with periwinkle. And it's like, how many people do you know who have 2 names that rhyme with 1 word? And it was like, I guess no one, because no one's ever thought to do that.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. I like my name. Can't.
You have an amazing name.
Thank you.
Like,
so
if you
much.
Get married, you can't switch up.
Oh, absolutely not.
No way. My name is Barry Finkel.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, yo, you one of one. You an original.
Mm-hmm.
You friends.
Oh. Thank you.
where does Barry come from?
So in Jewish tradition, you name your child after someone who has passed away, and you can use just the first letter of their name,
yeah.
which is a cheating situation. And so I'm named after my great-grandma, Bernice, and my dad did not want to call me Bernice, although I think I could have rocked Bernie. But
you could have rocked Bernie.
I could have rocked
Bernie. Bernie's cool.
But I have Barry.
Bernie Finkel?
Yeah.
Barry Finkel? It's just, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then my middle name, they really just like, they were like, yeah, this works, I guess. Elise is my middle name, which is
okay.
always spelled with an E. But they wanted to name me after my great uncle Isaac. So
okay.
they were like, we'll just throw an I on there.
I love the name Isaac.
Yeah, Isaac's great. But like, they really stretched it.
I mean, they just really made their own rules.
Yeah.
They just named you what they wanted to name you.
But yeah, that's my name. Finkel. Yeah, it was like Polish Jewish. After the Holocaust, Grandpa immigrated, changed it to
Finkel. What does Finkel mean?
Steen. Finkel means sparkle. Steen is stone. So I think like way, 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 way back in the day, we were probably like gem cutters or jewelers.
Okay, okay.
We were probably jewelers because that's like your last name was your occupation, basically.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Like Smith.
Like because you were a blacksmith.
Yeah.
Joe.
Don't quote me on this, but I'm like almost positive that I am right. I'm talking like way, like I would not be able to figure out who in my family at what point were they jewelers. I know like as far back as like they worked in logging, in Poland, but that's not where Finkelstein comes from.
Being Jewish is so fly. I used to host bar mitzvahs.
Oh, that's and so funny.
That was my introduction. So growing up in the South, I had no Jewish connection
Right.
Like, I almost thought, honestly, that like Hanukkah didn't exist. That it was kind of like white people's Kwanzaa. Like white people kind of evolved and like got rid of it. and like amazing. A handful of white people celebrate Hanukkah because I knew no one who celebrated it. Right. But it wasn't until I moved to New York City where I realized oh shit. Yeah, y'all running things. Yeah, y'all out here. Like, y'all are, like, legit, like, a community.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know. And it wasn't until, you know, I had a friend named Jenny and Rachel Eisenberg.
They were twins. Just kidding. I don't.
Do you really?
No. I just wanted to do that.
They were twins.
Oh, nice.
Ironically, they were the black twins in Chicago.
And we had the Jewish twins. Wow.
Amazing. That I had no idea were Jewish until I came to New York. And I was like, wow. Like, Jenny and Casey were Jewish. Who knew?
Who knew?
Is there different, like in America, is it even being a black American? There's like a difference between like the culture of a black American in the South versus a black American in Chicago versus a black American in LA and Watts, right? There's different cultural differences, even though we're jointly mostly the same. Mm-hmm. Like, what are the unique things about like Jewish culture that you notice from being in the Midwest Jewish culture versus like out west or out east? Is there any difference at all?
It's funny you should ask this. I was actually a double major in journalism and Jewish studies.
Word.
At one point I wanted to be a rabbi. No. So I find not so much in terms of where you are. So not like East Coast, West Coast. Like it's more what sect of Judaism, like Reform versus Conservative versus Orthodox, has different traditions. And then the biggest differences are, and these might be words you've never heard, which this one's most people have because of white people, but Ashkenazi, which is like Polish, Eastern European Jewish people from Eastern Europe. And then there's Sephardic, which is North Africa and like Spain, some of France. And then Mizrahi, which are like from the Middle East.
Okay.
So like those Jews have different traditions and different cultural things. So like things like rugelach and like Jewish pastries, bagels, stuff like that. Those are typically Ashkenazi.
Okay.
So like any Jewish American is probably going to have some sort of connection to like rugelach or something like that, which is like a Jewish pastry, because a lot of American Jews are Ashkenazi.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that like a Mizrahi Jewish person is going to have that same connection to that food. So it's more, this is getting more into like an anthropological cultural thing. It's more, I guess, rather than like East Coast, West Coast, whatever, it's more like where your Jewish heritage is from.
Gotcha.
Those are the connections that you have and those are the cultures. Otherwise, I'd just say like my Midwestern Jewish community like is different from East Coast Jewish communities in the sense that like East Coasts are different from Midwesterners.
Yeah. You know? Okay. Right. How did you did you always want to be involved in the media world or how did you get involved in media?
I got involved because I loved writing. That was always my strong suit. And I was looking when I went to college for like careers or a major really that I could pursue that had writing first and foremost. So I was between communications and culture or journalism. I really like journalism.
Okay.
And then I met a teacher through an ex-boyfriend of mine, and she was just this incredible woman, and she taught the like podcast classes basically. And she would bring in producers from all over the country, from like really big shows. Ira Glass at one point ended up Skyping in with us. And I just like learned all about audio production through her and storytelling through audio. And I loved it. And it still was writing. That's how I got into it.
Where'd you go to school?
Indiana University.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. IU.
Go Hoosiers.
Yeah. Yo, yes. You ever seen that movie?
Hoosiers?
Yeah.
Sadly, I actually have not.
Stop.
I know. Because people who go to IU, I mean, like, obviously they should see Hoosiers, but the movie that everyone watches is, it's not called Breakaway. It's called, oh my gosh, wait, I have to know. Oh my God.
It's a movie based on Indiana?
Yeah, it's a great movie. It's about the Little 500, the like bike race that happens every year. It's like Dennis Quaid when he was a baby, basically. Oh my God. It's not Breakaway, but it's something like that.
Okay.
And it's a great movie, and it's all filmed on IU campus. So I've seen that one.
How did New York get on your radar?
So in that class that I had this amazing teacher, and she would bring in producers from all over, and she brought in Soren Wheeler, who at the time was the senior editor, I believe, at Radiolab.
Okay.
And he came to the class, and he like taught us, and we all got lunch, and I just started like emailing him and asking him audio questions. And I went to New York over spring break one time, and I was like, surprise, I'm here. And he was like, oh, I'm not, but here's Lynn Levy, who's an amazing producer at that time, was at Radiolab. And she also happened to do the internship program. So I applied after meeting her and got an internship.
Now how long ago was this that you got your first kind of like break into the kind of podcasting audio industry?
It was 5 years.
5 years ago.
Like, I moved 10 days after graduating college.
Well, what is it like now seeing, obviously 5 years ago and the audio podcasting space was very different than what it is like today. What do you think about like the change in the industry as a whole and the popularity that's kind of taking place?
It's wild. I mean, like even thinking about the people, Ira Glass would not, I mean, maybe he would. I don't know his life. Our class would not Skype into a college class at Indiana University at this time. But it just, the access, it's not as accessible, I think, for younger producers trying to get into it. Like so much of how I made it, besides doing good work, was, you know, being able to meet people who were at the top of the game.
Right.
And I think that's a lot harder now. And also just the community. When I came here, it was New York Public Radio Club was big, but like their meetings were manageable. I hosted a public radio club meeting at my house. Like it was, you know, the largest group was probably like 50 people, but usually it was smaller than that. And like you went to it because you wanted to meet friends, not because you were going to network necessarily. And it's just, it's very different now. But it's also exciting. I sound like I'm upset about it. It's very exciting. And I like there's more jobs in it. There's more opportunity, even if there's maybe not as much access to the same types of people that I was able to get access to early on. But yeah, it's really changed so quickly. Like 5 years is not a long time.
Did you find it difficult to break into the industry at that time?
So that's what I'm saying. It's not really because I had that access through those people. Like I interned at Radiolab. I got close with a lot of those producers. I started babysitting a lot when I was freelancing. I also was privileged enough where like my parents helped me out and I didn't have student loan debt. So like I by far was in a much more privileged position to be able to do things like intern and freelance and, you know, babysit to make it. But like I was able to babysit for a lot of producers who I then ended up working for because they trusted me with their kids. And so they're going to trust me with their content.
Podcast.
It's just that was like my saying. But
facts. Yeah. 100% facts.
but you know, yeah. So it's like, and also Radiolab is a very specific bubble, I think, in New York where like you intern there and if they like you and if you're good, they're gonna keep you in their circle and you like bounce around at WNYC. So I went from Radiolab to the Brian Lehrer show and did some daily news stuff where I was like, oh hell no, not again. Brian Lehrer is an amazing person. That team was amazing. I never want to work in daily news again. Like I do not thrive on fear.
Yeah.
Like I don't like horror movies very much.
Nope.
It just, I don't thrive on adrenaline. Nope. And that's very much what daily news is.
I'm like,
every day walking in with like heartbeat racing, like sweating profusely. I just can't do that. Anyway, left Brian Lehrer show, ended up back at Radiolab freelancing. And then Jad tapped me to do More Perfect, which was like their first spinoff.
Yeah.
And I was associate producer there too. So, and then through them, I mean, when you have Radiolab on your resume as an intern and a freelancer, it's gonna help you out. So I didn't really have difficulty breaking in. I think I would have a lot more trouble breaking in now if I were like just out of school.
Yeah, totally.
But also the playing field, I think, is, I don't know if it's more level, it's just a much bigger field. So it's not, there are more opportunities to start at different companies, whereas I feel like when I was getting out of college, it was like, okay, you either go to WNYC, if you're in New York, or maybe NPR, the Moth, or StoryCorps.
I'm going to the Moth tonight.
Oh, nice, nice. And now, you know, there's Pineapple Street Media, there's Gimlet, there's a bunch of smaller companies, you know, that kind of stuff. So,
Barrett, we're going to take a quick break.
Cool.
And we get back, we're going to get into your show on Happy Hour.
Hey.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yo, we back.
Hi. It's been so long. I've missed you so much.
All right. So, Barry.
Yes.
I want to get into Unhappy Hour. So, tell me about Unhappy Hour first. Tell me about the show.
Yeah. Unhappy Hour is a show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. And I'm your host, Matt Palisite. No, that's just that's how we open every show. So it's a show about complaining, because we think that, you know, complaining, you can get to more positivity through the negativity. It's hosted by Matt Belisai, who's an amazing comedian. He was a breakout star at BuzzFeed. He did Wine About It, which was his web series, and now he does To Be Honest. He wrote a book, and he has this podcast, and I produce it, and I'm also on mic for it, which is still terrifying.
I was going to touch into that, because you're the first person that I've ever had on OPP who is also a, I guess any person who's a kind of a independently doing their podcast, is kind of producing their podcast, but for a publication or like a big network, mm-hmm. a producer, what goes into your job as far as making that show come to life?
Yeah, well, now I work with a wonderful team of Matt and Melissa Slaughter, who's our producer, and sometimes we have interns helping us out, but it's mostly just Melissa and me and Matt. And we pick topics, and Matt writes the deep dives, which is where we deep dive into like the one big topic we're going to vent about that day. Matt finds all the worst things first stories, which are, it's our first segment where we talk about the weirdest news that's happening. So not like political stuff. It's like fugitive pigs. and which is on tomorrow's episode. So basically, like, Matt writes a lot of it. I write the intros and outros. And then we interview a comedian, typically a comedian. Sometimes it's just, like, just someone we really like, basically. And we usually do that. Sorry, I did this all backwards. We usually do that on a different day. And then we edit it all together.
Okay.
So Melissa does the first draft. And then I do the second draft. And I just, before I came here, I finished uploading it to the distribution platform, and
I
hit schedule. So a more concise way of saying that is we write it, we record every Thursday for the first two segments in our chasers. We usually interview a guest and try and, like, you know, bank them, and then edit it all together on Friday and Monday and upload on Tuesday.
Now, you know, Matt Belisai is the star of the show,
sure,
but
is.
As you being the producer, how did you kind of become a character and personality in the show as well? How'd that happen?
So when we were developing the show, like, 2 years ago, 2.5 really, we knew that Matt was going to be the central focus, but he wanted someone to bounce off of, basically his straight man.
Oh, it's fine.
Okay. Basically just someone who could react to him. And so it doesn't sound like he's just alone in a studio.
Yeah.
And we were throwing out ideas, and he was like, we just came to the conclusion that, like, it probably would be easiest to just have me do it. And so we started doing it.
And what was that adjustment, or any adjustment was that for you to be behind the scenes for the majority of your career, for all of your career? And then now you know, what's interesting is, shout out to Sadie May, who works here at OPP. She does social media for OPP. She's awesome, but she's a big fan of Unhappy Hour. And she was the one who said, "Oh my God, you should have Barry be on the show. I love her so much." And she identifies with you and your personality. Obviously with Matt as well. But the first person she said to reach out to was you. How does that feel to come from being behind the scenes to now you have fans and people who adore you for you being you.
It's surreal because there are also a lot of people who don't like me. And it's hard to focus on the people like Sadie who like reach out every week or and then like follow up on things we say and stuff. And it's so fun. It was really scary at first. I've done voiceover stuff as a journalist. You know, I've reported pieces and that kind of stuff I'm super comfortable with. Because it's writing, like I'm writing it and then I'm reading it and I can make it sound like it's not being read. That's a skill in and of itself. And I'm good at that. What I'm was not as good at and I'm still trying to improve on is being conversational on that podcast specifically, because it's a lot of times Matt reading something and me reacting to it. I'm by no means an improv comedian, so it can be daunting at times, but it's taught me a lot about how to be on mic.
Yeah.
And it's taught me a lot about not reading comments. and also just like, I think one of the best moments, because, you know, Matt and I are very good friends in real life and we travel for Unhappy Hour. You tend to go to LA like twice a year.
Yeah.
And almost every time that we're in an airport, Matt will get recognized. And it's almost always Matt for his videos. And then this one time I was coming out of the bathroom at LAX and Matt was talking to these two people and Matt was like, oh yeah, and here's Barry. And they were like, oh my God, because they were like, we just went on a road trip and we listened to all of Unhappy Hour. And that was, we don't do a lot of live shows. We've done two. So I don't ever really meet listeners outside of the internet.
Yeah.
And the internet is also full of things I hate. So I try not to be on it all that much. So that was like an incredible feeling. I was just like, oh, this is something that people listen to. It's like complete stranger.
Are there any exciting segments that are on the show that listeners can tune into and be excited for?
Like coming up or?
Or just segments in general, like regular segments.
Yeah, I love our deep dives. Deep dive is we pick a topic and Matt writes a whole thing about how much that topic sucks usually. Or like, for instance, what was a good one? Well, we just did one about being tall. that one was fine. But I love our deep dives. Just Matt is so funny and it is wild to me that he is able to come up with those deep dive segments every single week and able to write them every single week. Like he is just so good.
Yeah.
He's so talented. And I love those and I love reacting to them. And I do really enjoy our interviews too. We get to have people we really love on and sometimes they're, you know, sometimes it sounds like Matt has been best friends with this person for years. Other times it's, I don't know. It's great. It's really fun. So I'd say the deep dives are probably the best part of the show. So.
Now, Barry, we've come to a point in the show where it's called our Podcasters Picks, where I asked the guests of today's show to give me their top three favorite podcasts.
Great.
And describe them to the audience. So what are your Podcasters Picks?
Okay. I want to preface this by saying I go through phases. It depends on what show I'm on and how much I'm producing and editing. Because if I'm editing a lot, I don't listen to podcasts as much because it's like I can only think critically. I'm like, oh, I would have done this differently. Oh, I would have,
Right.
But right now I'm not doing a ton of editing. And so the things I tend to listen to are Why Won't You Date Me, which is Nicole Byer's chat show. She has a bunch of podcasts, but this one is, do you know Nicole Byer?
No.
She's a comedian and she's fucking hilarious. I love her so much. She has the Netflix show Nailed It.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yes.
Yeah. So she has a podcast called Why Won't You Date Me? That's about dating. But she gets really amazing comedians on and she is someone who truly like she can sit down with anyone and make it seem like they are best friends. She's so that is hard. You're very good at it. Like it is.
Barry.
It is no really though. It's just like very easy.
I hate your ass.
No, they always say negative comments. Spiral all night. So she just has all these comedians on, and they're always just like such fun, dumb conversations that I just enjoy listening to while I'm cooking and stuff. That's like a fun one.
Is it enjoyable because it takes you away from maybe like the stress of the day
where
you kind of like mentally freeing?
Yeah. Also, honestly, I've been with my partner, Alex, and I've been together for 5 years. I haven't dated since I was in college. So I just don't have dating experience in my like 20s.
Yeah.
Because I've been with Alex for 5 years. So it's fun just to hear about their dating stuff.
Living through them.
Yeah, yeah. Without having to live through the like.
Like actual, I had a one night stand.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
Yeah, and like also it's because it's Nicole Byer. It's like it's usually like ridiculous scenarios that she's in. Like my favorite is a date where she went to the airport to go to the and they bought the cheapest plane tickets to go to Guy Fieri's restaurant. Which is so fucking, I realized I could do that with Alex, but like, that's so funny. And I don't hear about that anywhere else. So Why Won't You Date Me? Hosted by Nicole Byer is probably one of my faves. There is a scripted fiction show that I really love and I recommend and scream from the mountaintops any chance I get, which, so there is a podcast called The Truth, so you have to look for The Truth first.
Okay.
And that is a fiction show where like each episode is a different story, but they also do series on the show. So there's a 5-part series, standalone series,
okay,
on The Truth called The Body Genius, and it is a noir comedy about a Hollywood fitness trainer who is framed for a murder.
Okay.
And he's trying to he's trying to prove his innocence by figuring out who actually killed the client.
Hosted by who?
No, it's a fiction show.
There's no host?
No, it's not like a fake podcast. It's just like I'm this person.
Oh, wait. Okay, so the person's just talking.
Yeah, it's like, because like in noir film, there's the narrator who's like, and the shades were drawn and the blah, blah, blah. That's a terrible noir impression. It's like not at all. I blended two noir aspects, which is the lighting from shades and the narration. But so he narrates it. The main character like narrates it like a noir.
Got you.
But it's
okay.
A comedy. And
I got you.
It's 5 episodes. And my dad, if I had my phone out, I would read it to you. My dad texted me. He was like, just listen to it. This is fake, right? And I was like, yes. And he was like, okay, good. The guy is so dumb, but it's so funny. And like he was like, really reminds me of when we would sit around a radio listening to dramas. And I was like, I don't think you were that old. But yeah, it's great. Everyone who I've recommended it to has enjoyed listening to it.
Okay. All right.
That's number two.
And what's your third?
My third. For my third, it's going to be a tie between Heavyweight and Script Notes.
Okay.
Heavyweights is a Gimlet show I'm sure other people have recommended.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just one of the best written shows.
Describe it.
Okay. It's Jonathan Goldstein, who is a writer, and he basically, there's like a conflict and he solves the conflict or attempts to. And then it's not even like the premise of the show to me doesn't even matter because you're just there to hear his beautiful writing and the production.
Yeah.
And I just, even if the story is kind of flat, I'm always engaged in his storytelling. And the production team there is so good. And I think they have a real talent for taking ordinary stories and making them beautiful.
Yeah.
So I love that show. And then Script Notes is another chat show hosted by John August and Craig Mazin, who hosted the Chernobyl podcast. Emmy winner Craig Mazin. He just won the Emmy for Chernobyl. I produced the Chernobyl podcast. Anyway, but I've been like trying to write more, and it's a show for screenwriters. But like John August wrote Big Fish. He's like, he's done a bunch of stuff. And Craig Mazin obviously just won an Emmy for a show he wrote the entire series for. And they just like have great conversations about writing in a way that like you really usually would go to grad school for. Just like super valuable conversations about screenwriting that even though I don't write for screenwriting, I'm still like, it's been really helpful for me when plotting out narrative in podcasting. So that's technically 4, but I did those 2 because those are 2 also like really big shows. And I like shouting out the little guys too. But those are 2 big shows that I also like.
And Barry, before we get out of here, why do you podcast?
I podcast because it's the only thing that I can hear in my head and then make happen. Yeah.
Barry Finkel, it's such an honor to have you on the podcast.
Hey, thank you so much.
Big fan of Unhappy Hour. Sadie May's a big fan of you as well.
I'm a big fan of Sadie.
I'm speaking vicariously through her. She like adores you and loves you. And She thinks you're the best ever. I do as well. But I'm just speaking as if I'm Sadie Mae right now.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Sadie. Thank you.
Yo, you're the best.
Hey.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you all so much for tuning in to another episode of OPP and to our special guest, Barry Finkel. This episode was mixed by Joshua Coleman. Be sure to leave us a positive rating in the Apple app and let us know your favorite podcast in the review section. Let us know who you think we should have as a guest on the show. Lastly, before we get out of here, be sure to check out my other show, Silent Giants. Silent Giants highlights the superstars behind the scenes of popular culture, and I provide the links to that in the description of this episode. I'm your host, Corey Cambridge. God bless y'all. Till next time.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.